I can attest to the fact that the stool doesn't necessarily come out the next stool or the next day.
You can attest, meaning personally? You're telling us about your bowel movements?
I'll do it through my one-year-old at home. He actually just ate a part of a whoopee cushion, and it didn't come out the next day. Oh. it came out 2 days later, so.
What parent can't relate in some way to Dr. Steve Roberts?
My brother was making jokes about how he must have been making farting noises the whole time, and he didn't know if it was him or the whoopee cushion.
Welcome to The Genius of Wellness, a podcast brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. Luckily, Dr. Roberts' son is okay, but his whoopee cushion adventure is a reminder that what we eat stays in our bodies longer than we think, and it could lead to sickness and disease. That's why you need to learn safe and simple ways to detoxify your body. It's so important and so easily ignored that we're devoting two episodes to Simple Detox, starting now with Dr. Roberts, functional nurse nutritionist Leslie Frodema, and Dr. Pat Hopkins. Pat, the weather's turning, so usually we look at our yards and our closets and our clutter to try to clear it out. But you think we should be trying to do something with our bodies as the weather turns?
Well, I always say shopping for a new bathing suit will convince anyone to do something with their body in the spring. In fact, my sister and I, when we'd go shopping for bathing suits, even in high school, you had to keep your eyes closed and the other sister would open their eyes. And if they screamed, that was a suit you were not going to get. That's why you see people, my kids all do Whole 30 the month of January.
We could break down this detox by month or season by season. The Whole 30 is what?
Whole 30 is eating whole foods with no carbs, no grains, no carbs, no
alcohol.
No sugar.
No processed
foods. Eliminate 90% of what you kind
what
of
snack around.
What the
heck are we going to eat?
At the end of the day, when I analyzed every single diet, Atkins, Whole 30, keto, paleo, schmaleo, restricted eating, you know, if you go down the line, the cornerstone of every diet has the same ingredients: no alcohol, no garbage, no junk.
And is that no fun?
Well, yeah. Well, I had one patient who ate in a restaurant over the week. Her friends were home from college. And she's trying to lose weight to get into the service. And in 1 week, eating lunch out every day with her friends, she gained 10 pounds, 35,000 calories in weight gain in a week.
Jeez. We really take our bodies for granted. Leslie, what should we be doing?
I think what we can start doing is looking at what we're eating and appreciating that as the seasons change, our bodies are beginning to change as well. And believe it or not, we have natural cycles in which our bodies like to detoxify.
I do want to jump in here because I want to make sure that we also don't just focus solely on diet. Because when we're talking about detox, if we could boil this down and make it even simpler for everyone, what we're really talking about is what is going into your body and what is coming out, and then what's the sludge that's actually just staying behind that needs to come out but isn't. And that includes more than just food and the junk that's in the food, but that actually has to do with the food we eat, the water we drink, the air we breathe, the things we put on our skin, the stress and the emotional relationships we have with people.
The wireless tech,
yes, thank you. That's probably one of the biggest ones that we're all exposed to.
You've taught me. Let's jump in this conversation of what should we be doing to detox our bodies.
We can start taking out the garbage or those foods that are so easy to eat. We can do things like really try to cut back on processed foods, on sugar, on fatty foods.
Make it the easiest way for me.
I guess I would like people to appreciate the fact that the body constantly detoxes. If our kidneys aren't working, we need dialysis every 2 to 3 days, right? And that's because our kidneys are constantly detoxing us.
Okay, but we're detoxing by going to the bathroom.
We're detoxing by breathing, by going to the bathroom, both through our bowels and our kidneys. We're detoxing through our skin. We're detoxing, you could say, through the expression of our emotions. Detoxing is how we move things out of our body that we no longer need.
Yeah, I think another way to look at it that might make it easier is actually you want to think about this as like a balance sheet, or what is your toxic load? And there's a term that the late Dr. Bill Ray, I believe, came up with. He gave an analogy of a rain bucket or a rain barrel, where you can be putting toxins and things into the body and you'll be okay. But at some point, it's going to overflow. And so you need to be keeping up with draining that rain bucket as new toxins are coming in each day. So how do you actually keep it from overflowing? You stop toxins from coming in, which is the avoidance piece that you heard Pat talking about with what not to eat. And then you do things to facilitate things leaving your body at the same time. It doesn't do any good to detox and get stuff out of the body if you're just filling it up at the same time.
We know the basics of what we shouldn't be putting in our body, right? We hear that year round. The weather's turning. Aren't we trying to focus not just on better eating, but methods to expel the things from our body? And what would some of those methods be?
I want to challenge just one point there. All of us, yes, I'm sure we've heard some things that we shouldn't be avoiding putting into our bodies, but there's actually a huge amount of things that are hidden or things that we wouldn't even have thought were actually giving us a toxic exposure. From foods we eat to, if you're going to be cleaning the house, the cleaning supplies you're using, sure, it's cleaning your house, but it's making your insides dirty with the chemicals that are in them. So that's the first thing I want to emphasize, is that there are things that you maybe haven't appreciated up to now that you need to maybe take stock of or take an inventory of, how some things that are in your everyday life might be harming you that you hadn't in the past.
Right, and we've talked about use deodorant, don't use antiperspirant, use soap and water, don't use antibacterial soap.
So if you look through the list of great ways to detox the 76,000 chemicals that we are exposed to in the manufacturing of food and medications, actually, in that exposure, you have to facilitate detoxification. And there are a few ways to do it. Well, sweating, your skin is your biggest organism. That's why saunas are a great way to detox. Then there's foods that you ingest that can facilitate detoxification. Cilantro, make cilantro tea. Put cilantro on your food. There are people that say, I could never eat cilantro. I don't like it at all. I hate the taste. But these are Mother Nature gave us many ways to detoxify some of the environmental burden of the additives. You want to get the fresh stuff. You might want to make tea. And I always say you can keep your herbs for at least a week in the refrigerator. And don't be shy about putting everything in your bottom of the refrigerator on top of your food. Just chop it up and throw it on.
Okay, so let's talk about herbs that we should start adding to our shopping list each week. Cilantro is one.
Love it. Ginger. Rosemary.
Rosemary.
I buy the seeds too. Cumin seeds. I grind them up. I toast them. Black pepper.
Garlic.
Garlic.
Garlic's another. And you're putting it on everything.
I would say every day I use at least 4 to 8 cloves of garlic in my cooking. I use a ton of scallions. I use cilantro or parsley or rosemary daily. I use peppers like jalapeno.
You are a great cook. What do you put all this stuff on? Oh.
I laugh that we have like a food channel and nobody cooks. I love watching No Reservation Required. I love watching Anthony Bourdain. Just look what cultures. We unfortunately are a culture that moved away. I mean, spices were a way to preserve food or hide the fact that they were somewhat spoiled. But you know, the culture of cooking is not refrigeration and microwave. It's dried, fermented, spiced, cured. That was the way that our gut fed the army of protectors that we have inside of us.
Fascinating. But now let's drill down. What does Pat Hopkins put all of this stuff on?
I do a lot of chopping. I put it on all my food. Every dinner, I find a way to incorporate 5 different spices. No one is going to go down the path of a terrible meal if you start with minced ginger, chopped minced garlic, 4 or 5 cloves, 4 or 5 scallions. Put that in oil, a small amount of oil at low heat. You don't want to burn them. Garlic has, I don't know, something like 30 different chemicals depending on the temperature of which you heat it. So you want to have it at a low temperature. And then put your vegetables in. And don't keep adding oil. Add some water once it gets very hot. In Chinese cooking, it's called the hei, which is the breath of your wok. and understanding how the pan tempers in heat is something you have to learn by doing it. And I think people just say, well, I'll just microwave it. It's easier. But I don't think you're getting the benefit of eating if you're doing that.
Hi, it's Ted taking a second to remind you that the Genius of Wellness is your place for interesting podcasts, tips for living a healthier life, and doctors who provide a personalized approach to healthcare. You can find it all, plus schedule a telemedicine appointment at thegeniusofwellness.org. Now, back to our conversation. Leslie, share some real basic things that we could be doing to expedite the expulsion, is it called, or at least the detox of things that are in your body?
Increasing the amount of cruciferous vegetables in your diet can certainly help. Things like Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage. These are foods that are high in sulfur, as is garlic and onions. And one of the main pathways that our liver uses to detoxify is fueled through sulfur. So sulfur helps increase detoxification in the liver. We also know that berries, blueberries, strawberries, berries are very helpful because of some of the antioxidant compounds they have with them to help us detoxify. So you could make a smoothie with a lot of berries in it. You can also do simple things like I boil a bunch of beets every week or roast a bunch of beets. Beets are very helpful to thin your bile and to help detoxify the liver and gallbladder. So you boil 5 or 6 beets or you roast them, you keep them in the refrigerator, and each day you add them as a side dish, mix them into your salad, put some in your smoothie if you're going to blend it. So you can do it in very simple, practical ways.
All right, Steve, we heard from Pat and Leslie about fruits and vegetables and herbs. What can you add that's practical advice of what we could be doing to help speed up the detox?
I think I want to maybe share a new term. The term is called an emunctory. And what you want to do is clear the emunctories. So you probably have to ask there, what is that then? An emunctory is an organ through which waste leaves the body. Essentially, the kidneys, the skin, your lungs where you breathe out. I mean, it's all of what Leslie said before. You have to breathe out, you have to poop regularly, you have to pee regularly, you have to sweat, and you have to clear whatever emotional constipation you might have. And this is where, when we talk about the liver and the kidney, these are things that are these emunctory organs, because the liver dumps the bile into the intestines and then you poop. And so when people say, I need to do a liver cleanse, you're not fully detoxifying if that's all you do, but it is a little piece of the puzzle of when you're trying to do a detoxification strategy. And as you heard from Pat, there are things that both mobilize toxins, but then things that will clear the toxins through the emunctories. And cilantro is a very effective mobilizer. So one of the things I could suggest is that herbs, both culinary, but also at medicinal levels, beyond what you might get through cooking, you can take things that will actually help squeeze a little bit more of the bile out of the liver and get it into your poop. So these are bitters. Bitter things are actually the common things that would make that happen. Both bitter leafy greens, but also in a more medicinal or maybe social way. I don't drink, but maybe some of the drinkers out there have put bitters
Stop
in their drinks.
Stop looking at me.
Here we go Bad. Again. When I think of bitters, I think of a cocktail. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah. And you know, this is actually more from a historical or folk medicine use. But yes, some of those things that are added to alcohol cocktails, they would have things that are actually could be used in a medicinal way to get bile moving through the liver. And so if you take bitters before 20 to 30 minutes before a meal, it actually might help you eat your food, but also helps you dump that stuff into your intestines. Some examples would be a dandelion, orange peel, angelica, artichoke. These are all things that might be in some of your bitters. Artichoke sounds familiar, but most people aren't grabbing dandelion and eating it.
No, but what's the Aragosta bitter?
Yeah, Angostura.
Angostura.
Where do you get that?
It's, you know, that little bottle with the orange cap, and when you make a Manhattan, it's 3 drops on the top.
So bitters are a liquid.
Well, they can be. Bitter is a taste. So your tongue, you know, it can sense sweet, salty, bitter. Bitter is the one that most people don't tend to like because so much of our diet nowadays skews towards sweet. But bitter is arugula. If you've ever eaten arugula, that has a very bitter taste to it. But these are all things that get that bile moving. And a lot of the toxins, they leave the body through the bile. So you dump the bile into the intestines and then you want to poop it out. Now, the problem is if you don't poop, the bile dumps it into the intestines. It just sits there and then you reabsorb it. It just recycles the toxins right back into the body, and that can actually create more of a problem. It can make you feel pretty crummy, first of all. This is where some people wonder about, well, can it be harmful to detoxify? Well, if you don't actually clear the emunctories, the term we were using before, that stuff doesn't happen. You can actually recycle a toxin from somewhere else in your fat, in your bones, and it can redistribute then back into your brain and give you the worst headache or make you feel actually pretty bad. So you do need to make sure you're doing these other things. And I can't overemphasize breathing, sweating, pooping. Like, it's important.
A lot of people say to me, I move my bowels every day. We all are pretty good here about taking the poop history. And what they don't know is that morning bowel movement, does that represent food from 5 days before? And you're actually in a 5-day cycle. And so while the patient says to you, I move my bowels fine every morning. And I go, well, it's interesting. When you had the x-ray of your abdomen, it said it was FOS, full of stool. And you had the CAT scan and it was full of stool. And they're like, really? I'm full of stool. I said, so let's do a test. You're going to take 2 cups of cooked beets, eat them for dinner, and then tell me when the poops turn red. And that's your poop transit time. Ah. The other way you can do it, we actually order them, which are radio opaque rings. And we have you ingest the little ring. It's like a little pellet. And it is non-absorbable. And it will show up on an x-ray. And we do an x-ray at 3 days and 5 days to tell us what the transit time is.
I never knew there was a transit time. I always thought that what you're excreting in the morning had to have been what you
may
have eaten.
What we call meal in, meal out.
Kind of.
Yeah. Not for most people. And in fact, the data is so profound with the slow transit time that your primary bile salts, what you get that bitter, gets that bile into your stool, if it stays there for more than a few hours, it breaks down to secondary bile salts. It just gets tired and it breaks down, re-releases all the toxins back into your system, releases estrogen. So now we have people that are all estrogen dominant. They cannot lose weight. They have infertility issues. They have irregular cycles, et cetera, et cetera. This is men and women. And then the secondary bile salts are carcinogenic in the colon. So you understand rapid time is part of rapid recovery.
I can attest to the fact that the stool doesn't necessarily come out the next stool or the next day.
You can attest, meaning personally, you're telling us about your bowel movement.
I'll do it through my 1-year-old at home. He actually just ate a part of a whoopee cushion, and it didn't come out the next day. it came out 2 days later.
He forgot he was supposed to sit on the whoopee cushion.
Yeah. My brother was making jokes about how he must have been making farting noises the whole time, and he didn't know if it was him or the whoopee cushion.
All right, guys, great conversation. And the word that I've learned that I'm going to look up is emunctory. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Leslie. And thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Genius of Wellness. If you like our podcast, do us a favor. Share it with your friends and family. And write a review on this podcast channel. It'll help more people find us. The Genius of Wellness is brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. See you next time.